that was a bit of fun. Rally from the night of the 8th of the 8th, the 8th of August, we declared Melbourne the Nazi capital of Australia. And Giga chatted our way around the city. Every cunt who fucked with us didn't end up in a good state. One of them ended up in a hospital. And the police were too pussy to arrest us because it was too many of us. It was the most vulgar display of fascism in the English-speaking world, at least since the turn of the century. I'm not just saying that. It literally was, which is pretty cool. It's been, I think, a big step forward, I think, for the organization to put on something like that and to show that we're growing, to show that we're getting more sophisticated. The aura level is up. And I have Jacob with me here, Jacob Herson, the founder of NSN, the brains behind the operation of NSN activism. We're going to be joined by Tom Sewell and I think by Blair as well a bit later in the show. They will be on, but they'll have to jump on a bit late. But we've got Jacob on the show. Everyone's pretty excited because every week, when's Herson coming on? When's Herson coming on? Well, here he is. So, Jacob, your thoughts on not just the march, but I guess the whole, because we had a whole national conference over that weekend from the 8th, the 9th, the 10th. We did speeches. We had a rave. We had a RAC concert. We had a powerlifting competition. What's your thoughts on the weekend?
Yeah, there was so much that happened. It was very tiring, but so awesome. Just the spectacle of everything. I was just so happy, so energized from the whole weekend. It just felt like we couldn't have done anything better than what happened, especially the activism and the video, the subsequent videos that came out and people will have seen. I think, I don't know how you watch those videos and not just be hit with a sense of awe and a sense of like, this is just so awesome. I can't believe this is happening in Australia and it's happening in 2025. It was definitely something that was not expected by a lot of people. We knew we were going to be able to pull that amount of numbers, but even to just see it actualize, see all the men in black all marching together, all singing together, chanting together, and the police basically furious but unable to do anything is just something so good. So good to see.
I think I was having microphone issues. Is it better now? People were, I think it like connected to the wrong microphone. Some like tech issues. Is it sounding better now?
Do I sound good? Was I?
Yeah, you sound good. You sound good. It was me. I think it connected to like the microphone built into the camera by accident. But we should be all good. But yeah, I think the march just looked cool. It looked organized. It looked powerful. Obviously, like the numbers. I saw lefties complaining that the media played it down as only 100 men. They said it was clearly way more than 100. Nazism is on the rise in Australia. There was a hilarious article written by a leftist today that I shared on Telegram saying, what is the government saying that Nazis have no place in Australia? This country's always been racist. And they just went through all the reasons why, you know, eugenics and racism and so on have been part of the fabric of Australia since the beginning. And the whole country was built on racism and that we reflect the views of a very large portion of the population still today. And I think you saw that it was so enjoyable reading the Facebook comment sections on the Noticer news uploads of the footage from the rally and seeing the so-called normies absolutely loving street fascism. We had the Aussie flag up the front and they said, well, at least they respect the flag, unlike those Palestinian protesters. And they're marching at night because they probably all have jobs and they're too busy during the day and so on. They had a lot of funny comments like that. But people always say, oh, you know, you can't do this Hitler LARP. You can't do fascism. It doesn't appeal to the normies. It doesn't appeal to the masses. But I think we're slowly but surely winning the argument that, you know what, actually it does appeal to the normies. Actually, when you flood a country with immigrants and you completely take away the dignity of a people, and you basically make nationalism a dirty word, a lot of them are going to actually like it when the fascists rise up anyway and show defiance. Because what it communicates is that the white man is not going to just go away with a whimper, but the white man is going to fight back. That actually white Australia is not just, isn't done, isn't over. This is still our country. And if they're going to take it off us, they're going to have to take it out of our hands through force. They're not just going to, you know, bully us with words and with, you know, government bureaucracy into laying down and dying quietly. We're going to rage against the dying of the light as a people. That's the message that we're trying to send to the people. There was this one Asian girl who, like, obviously doesn't support us, who made an analysis of this. And she got it. She hit the nail on the head, because people say, what's the point of marching around? You know, what is it going to achieve? Well, she hit the nail on the head, which is that the point of the rally is to communicate to the broader public that there's people who think like you, the broader public who are disaffected, who are alienated, who see what's happening, who don't want the country being flooded with immigrants, who don't want white Australia being stolen from us. To communicate to them that there's people that are willing to stand up and fight back and to provide a resistance to the government and a resistance to the agenda, to inspire them to get involved, to inspire them to be emboldened in their beliefs. And that's exactly what is happening. Like, we can see, if you just go to any social media site, if you talk to people down at the pub or on the street, you can see that the attitudes are changing, that the general public is... I'm not going to say the white man has woken up and everyone is now a national socialist. That's not true, but you can see that the fighting spirit is returning somewhat to the people. And we're not going to talk about August 31 just yet, but I think the fact that there's so much buzz around that event is an expression of that, that the public dissatisfaction and the aggression is bubbling up, and the people want to actually react. The people want to be part of a real movement that could resist this agenda. You know, people were quite blackpilled after the last election. How could so many people vote for left-wing parties and so on? But the reason why that happened is not just because they've flooded the country with immigrants who vote for the left-wing parties, but it was also because there is no right-wing parties that put up a genuine opposition. There's no inspiration on the right wing. There's no vision on the right wing. And I thought what we did with that march, and also I think, you know, the speeches that were done and the whole weekend... we'll release a documentary soon. The boys are working on a documentary about the weekend. When people see what we put on, they'll be impressed. They'll see, like, these guys are serious. This is a serious political movement. We're building a political party. We've already got 1,500 supporters, which is the magic number for the AEC. We've already hit the marker, and we're going to keep collecting more. We will register our political party in due course. And we will be a force in Australian politics, and there's nothing that anyone can do about it. National socialism is here. Australian 21st century national socialism is here and here to stay. And we, through a collective force of will, have imposed this into manifestation. And that's what I think that rally was a message, which was that we're still growing, we're rising, and at a certain point, the rest of society is just going to have to accept that Nazis are part of Australia now, Australian politics and Australian society, and get fucking used to it.
That's very true. It's the first kind of visual embodiment that everyone can see that we are back, we have returned, there's a resurgence, and there's actually a force in this country to recover what we had previously. And there hasn't been that. There's always been these cuck parties, and there's been some street movements, but they haven't been radical enough to have staying power and to actually be honest about what most people are thinking and what they actually want, which is a white Australia. And we want to send these non-whites who have been brought here back to their lands of origin, because that's the only way we're going to prosper, we're going to flourish, and even survive as a people. So you can see all these politicians and all these leftists, they're probably going back to the drawing board now and thinking about well, these people have basically leveled up. They've gotten more serious. What do we need to do to fight against them more effectively? Because what they've been doing so far is obviously not working. Just basically trying to arrest us whenever they can, hit us with this lawfare and reprimand us in the public and all these kind of things. It's not working because it just makes us stronger. It makes the public more sympathetic to what we're doing. Because the reality is, the population now are alienated and disenfranchised. They don't actually like the government. So when these people come out against us with these criticisms and all that, it actually just makes us look better. And you're going to see that well, let's pray that they do not change their strategy, because we are certain to win in the end if they don't change their strategy and change their tactics.
Yeah, I also thought the media coverage, I mean, time and time and time again, the media plays straight into our hands. And the media coverage over that weekend of Nationals from, you know, the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, and the week after, played completely into our hands. You know, they put a video of me on national television declaring Melbourne the Nazi capital of Melbourne. The Nazi capital of Australia. They have, you know, the boys walking around looking staunch. And they say the police were powerless to stop them, and anyone who stood up to them got bashed. And it's like, do you not understand that the people respect strength? That on the fundamental level, no matter what people say, deep down in their psyche, they respect strength, because that's just natural. That's nature. You have to respect strength, because otherwise strength will crush you. And what people don't respect is weakness. For too long, the pro-white movement has tried to advance a politics of victimhood, of talking about, but, oh, it isn't fair. White people don't get the same treatment as non-whites. There's a double standard. Look at this white victim here, that white victim there. And obviously, there's a place for that kind of discourse. But if that's all you're bringing to the table, you're bringing to the table weakness. There needs to be, these are the things that we're concerned about, and we're going to do something about it. It needs to be married with a message of strength, of empowerment, of a message that the white man can rise up and fight back. And, you know, that's easy to say as well. It's a lot harder to show. And I think what we achieved with that march, even though it's not that many people, what we showed, though, was the promise of the movement that we are getting stronger, we are getting bigger. And then their response was to put Nathan Bull flexing on the front cover of The Age, the second biggest newspaper in Melbourne after the Herald Sun. The front cover was a giant picture of Nathan Bull flexing with a Hitler Patriot shirt tucked into his pants. Like, do they just want to make us look cool? They just kept putting things out in the media over days after days after days, making us look cool, making us look epic. They wrote an article, a News Corp wrote this article the week after the event, talking about our political party, talking about Tom boasting at how many signups we got after Nationals and how we're getting more signups. We're at a rate of signups now that are outpacing the Liberal Party. The Liberal Party is losing members. We're gaining members. And they wrote a whole article about it. And the article supposedly was attacking us, but they were just like showing the numbers, showing the graphs that Tom was posting on Telegram, talking about how the Liberal Party is actually dwindling in support and only has 40,000 members nationally at this point, and like comparing us to the Liberal Party and showing us as a legitimate alternative. You know, it's almost like they, I'm not going to say that they want to help us, because they don't, but like they, in their hysteria of freaking out about our existence, oh, look at these big scary Nazis. They give us incredible promotion because they don't understand the psyche of the public. They think, oh, if we just show these guys as bad guys, as scary guys, the public will agree with us that they're bad and scary and that we need new laws to pass to get rid of them. But that's not the attitude of the public. The public is much more concerned about what the government is doing. The public is much more concerned about what the far left is doing, and so on. These other, you know, ethnic lobbies in society, pushing to take away freedom of speech, pushing to take over institutions, to rename everything with Aboriginal names or foreign names or whatever, to put Aboriginal humiliation rituals into every public ceremony. They can feel that's what power is doing. That power, obviously, the people in power aren't racist against non-whites, quite the opposite. And so the public are not, you know, buying into it in a very substantial degree. They just kind of have contempt for the media, contempt for the government, and then they're just being blasted with this, the Nazis are getting stronger, the Nazis are getting stronger, the Nazis are getting stronger, when there's no alternative in the current establishment, really, like, to the you know, to the regime as it currently is instantiated. There's no real ideological opposition. So what's going to happen? People are going to keep signing up. People are going to sign up as supporters. People are going to look for us on the ballot next time and vote for us. They're, through their collective hysteria, basically facilitating our rise. I've said this so many times. If they just shut up about us and didn't talk about us and didn't pass laws about us and didn't react to us in any way, we would grow much slower as a movement. It would be good in a sense that we wouldn't be dragged through courts and we wouldn't be harassed by police and we'd be able to operate freely and you know, be able to grow our movement in an organic way. But instead, they've chosen this path, which presents a lot of obstacles to us, but at the same time, it also has opened us up to a lot more public prominence. And it's, and is potentially a faster path for us to growth into a legitimate, you know, major political faction in this country, because now every time I go out, someone comes up to me who recognizes me. And this is happening to you. This is happening to Tom. They're turning us into like celebrities, basically, because they can't stop talking about us on the news.
Well, it's also because we're actually interesting, and there's not much that is interesting in politics in Australia. It's all boring cuck nonsense from the Liberal Party and from the Labor Party. And then you have extreme radicals who are even more cucked in the Greens and other Antifa and socialist and communist groups. So the issue is they're not going to they're not going to just put a total ban on reporting on us, because it would hurt their ratings and things like that. Like, they have to talk about us because we are newsworthy, and to just ignore us would probably do even worse for them, because it would become blaringly obvious, because you got social media. Everyone's going to be making TikTok videos and posting on Facebook about what happened in Melbourne. And then if the media aren't reporting it, it's going to be obvious that there's some sort of agenda to stop us being promoted. And I think the rally that we had, 140 people is actually a lot of people, considering the conditions we're under, how much we're demonized, how much we're persecuted, prosecuted by the police, and the fact that nobody is getting paid there. No one's getting paid. Not even organizers are getting paid to organize it. Everyone's a volunteer going and demonstrating at great cost to ourselves. I can't think of a single political movement that would be able to do the same. You have other left-wing kind of movements like the Palestinians and things like that, but they are not under the same scrutiny that we're under. They're not getting arrested at every rally and having constant charges brought against them, unless they're basically going a step further and they're doing pretty obviously criminal activities, whether it be... Well, there's heaps of things they do which they get charged for. So, but we're just getting arrested for our political advocacy. I have court next week, actually, for the mass deportations rally that we did. And I've been arrested for offensive behavior for saying slogans in public, saying blood and honor and saying Australia for the white man. So they're criminalizing just our advocacy. And yet we've still got 140 people. So we're obviously the strongest faction on our side of politics. And relative to every other group, I'd say we're the strongest group in the country in terms of spiritual power and potential.
Yeah, obviously the determination that we have is next level. Like, I had a friend who mixes in, let's say, the more edgy conservative circles in Australian politics. They had an event. He came to our event on the Friday night where we had, you know, the torches lit and epic speeches and so on. And then he went to the cuckservative, or let's say like the edgy conservative, where maybe they talk about how mass immigration is bad. And, you know, maybe they mention the word Anglo-Celtic when talking about Australian identity or something like that. And they think that they're being based, or someone there mentions like that they watched Nick Fuentes' show or they've read Bapp's book or something like that. But in actuality, they, you know, work and move in the fringes of, you know, the parliamentary right. And there's some good people in those circles who I'm friends with, of course. But he went to their event and he called it dinnerism. They had like a dinner and people gave speeches. I think John McGowan gave a speech. Apparently in John McGowan's speech, he started the speech by saying, well, this is probably the largest gathering of right-wingers in Australia right now where everyone's wearing different clothes. Obviously referring to us, which is interesting that they were thinking about us. But anyway, he said basically there was no energy, there was no hype. You know, it was just a bunch of yap. And most of the people there didn't even really like each other that much. And there's a lot of factions and, you know, cattiness and so on. And yeah, the event was gay, he said, basically, dinnerism. Whereas, like, he came to our event and he was like, it was aura. You know, everyone's like pumping Roman salutes and there's got the torch lit marches and everyone's ready to go into battle and, like, you know, fight and die for what they believe. And it's such a, you know, it's such a night and day distinction. Like, there's no one doing torch lit rallies for the Liberal Party, you know, throwing Romans to like Susan Ley, chanting Hail Susan Ley or something. Like, that would just be like the most absurd thing of all time. No one's willing to go to battle for these people unless they get paid to be their security guards. Like, there's no passion behind what they're doing, but what we're doing, it like kind of connects to our members and to our followers on like a visceral on a visceral level. You know, it's a completely different thing. It's not even comparable. And, you know, people say, why do you do the Hitler stuff? You know, Tom's speech at Nationals was about that, which is up. You can find it on Telegram. I think we all shared it basically on the White Australia Telegram. His speech was kind of like discussing that, like, you know, so there's a lot of people that might be here at this event who they agree with everything, but they say, why do you have to do the Hitler stuff? It's like, well, why don't you think about the fact that the people that are willing to bleed for this country, the people that are willing to fight harder for this country than anyone, who are willing to stand up to the highest level of resistance from the regime and from our political opponents, how come they all love Hitler? What is that? Like, why is that the case? Why do the people who love the country the most also love Hitler? And there's obviously a correlation because no one loved his country more than Adolf Hitler in the history of politics. So of course we take inspiration from him because we aspire to love Australia as much as Hitler loved Germany. And if we could do that, if we could have political leadership that loved Australia half as much as Hitler loved Germany, maybe we would get somewhere as a country. That's kind of what the aim is. Whereas, you know, what's the inspiration that, you know, these conservatives or whatever are drawing from? You know, it's no one even really says what they think in those scenes. They say what they think they're supposed to say according to the position that they're in or the television show that they're speaking on or whatever. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all bullshit. Whereas, say what you want about us, love us or hate us, like, where we stand is really what we believe. We don't hold back. And it's real. So I think that plays into what you were saying about why we're interesting. But why we're interesting is because we really fucking believe this shit and take it 100% seriously. And I think that manifests in the way that we look. We look cool. We look different. Obviously, there's like a militant aura. And it's a completely different type of politics than what people are otherwise used to in Australia. But obviously, we need that. People that think that we can somehow do suit and tie conservatism with immigration restrictionism and sensible remigration policies and somehow negotiate our country back, where we say to the Australian people, you can still keep watching the footy and you can still keep, you know, basically dicking around and make zero sacrifices and involve yourself in zero controversy and just like vote for a different suit who says, you know, things that are more in line with what would be good. And then we can just fix the country and we can go back to having a white country and we can, you know, live happily ever after. Like, that's delusional. Obviously, we're going to need to fight for it. Obviously, if we're going to seriously take the country back, it's going to be an absolute dogfight. And so you need people that have a completely different attitude than mainstream politicians or anyone involved in politics, period, because they don't have the attitude of fighters. They have the attitude of negotiators, of you know, social climbers, strivers, people who look at politics as a way to personally advance their own career, not people who are willing to go to jail for their beliefs or people that are willing to die for their beliefs.
That's exactly it. All these liberals and these young liberals and all those type of people, they're all interested in money. It's all money thinking. And they're thinking about how can they get themselves a career being a staffer, making heaps of money? How can they become an MP and get that massive salary? And in contrast, we're thinking about how can we create a white Australia? So who's going to create a white Australia? The people who want to take bribes from the system to not build a white Australia and to be cucks and throw their own side under the bus and lie to their supporters, or the people who are going to fight in spite of all the odds to achieve that goal of a white Australia? It's obviously going to be us. We're the only chance to actually realize that ideal in this country. Nobody else is going to do it. They're all thinking about money. They're not thinking about blood. It's obviously we got to put blood over gold. And consequently, all of us who are struggling against this system, we have all these, we get bankrupted by the courts and we get constant fines from the system and we get fired from our jobs and things like that. It's actually the complete opposite of the money thinking of these conservatives who are content to obviously just talk about a bunch of nonsense to everybody who's having a nice dinner, thinking about how they can get some money. So the thing that's interesting as well is there is no alternative to us. There is nobody but the Hitler soldiers who are fighting to create a white Australia. All these people suggest to us that we need white Australia without Hitler, and yet nobody has been able to build that. Nobody is building that. Only Hitler soldiers are fighting for white Australia right now. And obviously there's other micro groups, but none of these groups have been able to meet us in terms of even quantity. You think radicals like us would have far fewer people than these groups that are a bit more moderate, but that actually isn't the case. We dwarf these people in terms of our fanaticism, in terms of our actually telling the truth, And in terms of our quantity as well, not only how many people we actually have, but the quantity of the activity that we're doing. And I think this nationals, this last winter nationals really proved that to people, that we are the full picture. We are doing all these things that people suggest we should do, except with Hitler as well. And if these people need to stop criticizing us, if they truly believe that we need white Australia without Hitler, well, it's time for them to actually go get off their hands, stop sitting on their hands and doing nothing, and go do that instead of suggesting that we do it for them. Because then there can be two movements fighting for a white Australia, and then we're all the more likely to have a white Australia. But the issue is there is no alternative right now. So either they can shut up or support us. That's basically the choice they have right now.
The interesting thing is that I've met a lot of people who, let's say in the right, they're in the nationalist movement, but they don't want to join us. I pretty much know, I would say, more than half of the prominent people or even unprominent people in the nationalist movement who are involved themselves in real life, just because, you know, I know a lot of people in the movement, as naturally in my position. So I've had a lot of these conversations with a lot of people. And very rarely do any of these people actually criticize in principle National Socialism or Hitlerism or Adolf Hitler themselves. They all basically agree that National Socialism is the correct position politically. Their dispute is purely, oh, but if you do that, then it will alienate people and it will create more, you bring more heat on yourself. And basically what all these people have in common is a certain level of cowardice, a position that, well, you know, if we do that, if we go all in on Hitlerism, then it's going to cause all of these negative consequences for me personally, and I don't want to have to deal with those consequences. And then they kind of like tie that up in this idea that, well, it won't appeal as much to the masses. But the reality is that everyone who, you know, has like sees the appeal in white nationalism is paying attention to us. And when we put our political party forward, the White Australia Party, and we run candidates, they're going to be voting for us. So at the end of the day, the question is, you know, if that's, you know, is it really about the optics or is it just simply about cowardice? And then also it's a good filter because it shows who's a real nigger. If you're willing to sign up to the NSN and put on the black jacket and get out in the streets and march alongside us, then you're a real motherfucker. So that means we can trust you. That means we know that, okay, this guy's all in. But we can't trust a lot of these people who are on the fringes of the movement because one day they say something based and the next day they walk it back because the media put out an article or, you know, they want to get a certain position in a certain, you know, in a certain institution, or they want to be on television or whatever. They want to pursue some kind of career advancement and they won't be able to take that next step if they don't denounce something or avoid saying something. And so, like, the beauty of our position is that what you see is what you get. And that's what we need. Australians need straight shooters. They love straight shooters. Like, you know, in Australia, you know, we've got a giant desert in the middle of the country. What do we call it? The Great Sandy Desert. You know, we put a bridge over the harbor in Sydney. What do we call it? Sydney Harbor Bridge. You put a, for some reason, a giant building for opera, Sydney Opera House. We've got a state on the western side of the country. What do we call it? Western Australians call shit what it is. We don't beat around the bush, which is part of the reason why we're going to call the party the White Australia Party, because it is what it, that's what it is. That's what it's fucking about. We don't beat around the bush. And at the same time, there's probably a reason why the Australian nationalist movement is so dominated by National Socialists and by Hitlerism, because Australians just tell it like it is. And so everywhere else in the world, their entire white nationalist movement are secret Hitlerists, are secret Nazis. But here we just don't want to be secret Nazis. We just are Nazis. And whenever I, you know, go and shake hands and talk to people in the broader movement, they've seen Europa, The Last Battle, or, I mean, I don't particularly endorse that film, but they've seen that. They've seen the Hitler AI translated speeches on TikTok. You know, they know about the Holocaust. They know the talking points. So, you know, people are open-minded and are willing to explore these ideas if they're open-minded to exploring white nationalism. People don't just go, well, you know, I agree that we need to deport every single like brown person from Australia, but I'm not even willing to listen to the argument about why Hitler was a good guy. Like, these people don't exist. This is like a ridiculous concept that these people exist. They don't. Not that everyone necessarily agrees with our position on everything, but they're at least willing to hear it out. So this idea that it completely prevents us from engaging in the conversation or making our point heard, or it totally poisons the well. Oh, well, if nationalism in Australia is associated with Nazism, it'll never get off the ground. Well, nationalism in Australia is advancing, and it's advancing because of the Nazis. The non-Nazis are not advancing nationalism to a substantial degree. Pretty much the bulk of the work has been done by us and by our satellites and our friends and associates. So, you know, it's time. If you can build an alternative, build it, like Jacob said. But you know, at some point you've got to just like look at, well, what's actually working and realize you should back the strong horse. I don't understand how there's people watching this show who obviously are Australian citizens who support us, who haven't at least signed up as a supporter at whiteaustralia.org yet. Like, how are you not at least providing the most basic level of support to this movement, which is trying to save your country from being stolen from you and your race from extinction? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, clearly what we're doing is working, and there's a long way to go. But I just don't understand how people aren't all in. People say, oh, you know, I'd like to help you guys out, but, you know, the wife. You're a fucking faggot. What do you mean, the wife? Like, the nationalists out there need to stop working for pussy and get pussy working for them. You know what I mean? The wife needs to be under your control. What are you fucking doing?
The wife. That's very true. It's true. Yeah, well, there's so many people that, because of how broken down the dynamics between the sexes has become, they're basically being led around by women. Like, men are being led around by women because they're so desperate to gain and hold on to a partner, to the point where they're being led around by women, which is obviously the inverse of what should actually be happening in a healthy relationship. But yeah, that's kind of a distraction from what we've been talking about. Maybe we should talk about what actually happened each day of nationals and give people more of an idea of what actually happened, because you gave off a list at the start, but if we explain that in more detail, I'm sure the audience would like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, the powerlifting competition, I mean, it's fun to do. It wasn't particularly fun for me, because by the time I got back after all the shenanigans on Friday night, I had to run around. So I got like 2 hours sleep in my car and then had to do a powerlifting competition. So it wasn't exactly in the best mood. But I think the powerlifting competition is way less fun for spectators in comparison to the kickboxing competition. The kickboxing competition we did at Summer Nationals in Adelaide was fucking amazing. Like, that shit was so fucking fun. Like, wherever Summer Nationals is, we haven't put it in stone yet. But you should come down as a supporter, sign up as a supporter and come down and watch that, because the kickboxing competition itself is going to make like the ticket price worth it, whatever it is. And obviously we're going to do speeches and music and all that again. But powerlifting comp, it's all right. The deadlifts can be kind of fun when people do heavy deadlifts, but I don't know if it's as dynamic, to be honest. What do you think?
Well, I missed most of it because I was editing the footage that we got on the Friday. But yeah, I missed most of it. So we obviously skipped the first day, which was probably what most people saw. So on the Friday, we had just drill training. We were practicing the marching, getting everything ready for the demonstration. And then we went out and did that march. Obviously everyone saw the footage, and you played it at the beginning. And then did we do anything else on the Friday, or were we just preparing for the demonstration?
Well, we did speeches for the membership on the Friday night with all the torches. Like, that sick photo of Tom addressing the crowd where there's all the torches in the crowd, that was from the Friday night. That was that had aura. That was pretty sick.
Yeah. So yeah, we did speeches out in the open with the torches, and we did oath swearing as well. I forgot about that. So yeah, that was a night of aura, and everyone was just charged and ready. And then we told everyone that we were going to be doing activism that night. And it was awesome to see everyone keen for it. And everyone, there wasn't nobody was umming and ahhing. Everyone was like, yep, it's time to go. Let's go. And we weren't sure, because there was police already at the place we were staying, at the caravan park that we had hired out. And we weren't sure if there was going to be swarms of riot police waiting for us or whether we were going to get a clean run into the city. When we all drove out and nobody was scared. Everyone was ready to just go and do the demonstration. We had very high morale and very high turnout. Basically, I'd say we had, out of the people that were there, 97% of people went and did the demonstration. The only other people that didn't go were people who were too old or were they had responsibilities they had to do at the base camp. So basically everyone went. We drove out. There was police there waiting for us as we drove out of the camp, of the caravan camp. And we thought they were going to basically ring it in and tell the police in the city, maybe they had riot cops or waiting or whatever. But when we actually got there and we began the demonstration, there were no cops at all. We were marching for probably 30 minutes before even the first cops arrived. They were just caught totally unprepared. They didn't know that we were going to do a demonstration at night, and they didn't know we were going to do it on the first night that we had assembled. I think they thought we were going to probably do it on the last day after everything was wrapped up and we had sufficient time to prepare, because we only had probably like 3 or 4 hours of preparation in terms of marching training and making sure everybody has their uniform set up. So that, I don't think they were expecting it. They got caught with their not being prepared, and here we have Thomas has arrived to the podcast.
I hope you guys can hear me okay.
You sound good.
Yeah, you sound good.
Is there an echo? Is the my tech all right?
Slightly, no, but it's all right.
I couldn't hear anything.
I'll turn my volume down. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm just streaming from the car because I don't know if you've already covered on stream, but we're on the run. You know, we got coppers coming to the mother-in-law's house. It's crazy.
No, are you outside of
Victorian state borders?
I cannot confirm whether I'm in or not in the state of Victoria.
Yeah, we haven't talked about any of that yet. We're still talking about nationals. We're talking about the Friday night. We went out. The police were waiting at the caravan park, but they didn't call it in. And it took them about 30 minutes before of us marching through the streets before they even brought out a few cop cars. And it was basically when that homeless man attacked you, that all these cop cars came out of nowhere, like 6 or 7 just like appeared from around the corners of, I don't know, it might have been Swanston Street. We were marching up Burke, yeah. But it was the intersection of Swanston Street and Burke, I believe, where just like 4 or 5 cop cars appeared, and there were cops behind us as well. Almost like it was some patsy that had set up to just attack Tom, and then all these police swarm after it. And as it was happening, all of us were just looking around, like going, "What is this? Was this a prepared, patsy or you know, government stooge who was going to attack Tom and get us arrested for defending ourselves?" But on the day, it turned out that the police weren't going to arrest anyone. They just didn't have the numbers. So,
Yeah. Well,
yeah. They arrested me a couple hours ago. So, like earlier in the day. So yeah, that was interesting. They said that I needed to come in for a voluntary interview, and when I said no, they said, "Okay, open the door, we're bringing the battering ram." I was like, "I do not consent." And then they got the battering ram, and I was like, maybe I don't want my mother-in-law's door smashed in. We just had our door smashed in like a week ago by the AFP. So, and I only just fixed that door. So yeah, it's been a wild journey, that's for sure. I mean, the last 2 weeks have been so intense. Nationals was just absolutely fantastic. That was the best weekend of my life. The activism was fantastic. The speeches were fantastic. The probably the one mistake we made was putting the Nazi rave and the RAC concert and the White Boy rap concert the night before the speeches, because the boys were looking a little bit tired during the speeches. So next year we'll do the party at the end. I just didn't realize it would go so hard, but it went harder than expected. Yeah, definitely.
Well, there was mosh pits for every single one.
Yeah.
Every single one had mosh pits. Like the rap had the mosh pit. The RAC had the mosh pit. Even the acoustic guitar had the mosh pit. Everyone was just fighting each other.
Yeah. Now the energy was very high. But there was also, there was plenty of wholesome chungus. I had a lot of families come up to me and say to me that they were really happy with how the event went and that it's the first time they've come to a nationalist event. And so they were so happy to, that they, you know, were welcome and that their children were welcome. Yeah, it was a good combination of, you know, wholesome chungus, you know, LARP, activism, community building, art, culture, entertainment, athletics, strength, you know, masculinity, femininity. It was just, we're just doing it all. It was like a big national holiday, a big national celebration of our movement, of our organization. And yeah, I had a lot of people say to me that we need bodyguards. We need more bodyguards. And that was definitely covered in the debrief. Definitely next March, we're going to have like teams of bodyguards at the front and at the rear to ensure that these issues don't happen again. But I think I handled myself pretty well on the day and within the boundary of the law. So if this goes to court, this assault on my person, I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, I've got plenty of court cases already. I'm happy to do more. But yeah, I'm sure you guys covered heaps about nationals. Was there anything that you wanted me to?
I mean, we didn't really discuss like you getting assaulted yet. We just got up to like the beginning of the rally. We kind of talked about it generally and the beginning of the rally. Obviously, I don't know if he actually is homeless. The media reported him as homeless. He just said he's a man of no fixed address, which means he could have just refused to give his address to the police because he's guilty of an assault. He came up to you, spat at you, and then he threw the first punch. In fact, I think he threw the first two or three punches. Then you beat the piss out of him, but like he fucking asked for it. He ran over to you screaming abuse and then hit you. So spat at you and hit you. So you defending yourself against someone who assaults you is legal in every reasonable interpretation of the law. But yeah, the video of that was obviously put up on the notice. So I'm sure most people, I'm sure everyone's basically seen that, the video of the incident. But after that happened, police sirens started going off. We had to like yell at everyone, keep marching, get back in formation, because it was a bit of a fracas. But we did get back in formation pretty quickly. You got back to the front and you just kept marching on. And by the time we got to where the police cars were, we were fully back in formation and singing our song. And the police didn't really know what to do and just had to follow us around like little cucks for the next half hour around the city, because they were obviously too afraid to try and mass arrest 150 Nazis. That's my interpretation. There was one point where there were a few cops on foot kind of staring us down, and the female cops had the pepper spray out ready, and they kind of looked, there was fear in their eyes, but they didn't have the balls to do anything. And they shouldn't have. Legally, we weren't doing anything wrong. You only defended yourself against someone who attacked you. We weren't going around attacking people for no reason. That's ridiculous. But ultimately, I think it was a show of strength that if you have enough numbers, it doesn't matter whether the police don't like you or whether the police commissioner gives them orders to mess with us or whatever the case may be. If you've got enough numbers, the police are forced to accept your street rallying. And so when people say, oh, going in rallying in the street, you're just all going to go get yourselves arrested. And what's the point? Well, if enough of you sign up and if enough people join the org and enough people come to the rally, doesn't matter what the government says, doesn't matter what the police says, doesn't matter what the politicians say, what the media say. At the end of the day, there's strength in numbers.
Yeah, it's taking tribe and train to its proper form. I mean, a lot of people say tribe and train online, and a lot of people talk about how we need to organize, and that's a demonstration of organization. That there's a lot of effort that goes into doing that. it's not a one-for-one parallel to running the country. Obviously, we're not saying, hey, look, we've got 150 guys in the street. Now it's our country. We can take over the whole place. It's like we've got a lot of work to do. And, you know, we've got a lot more organizing to do and a lot more street demonstrations. But why we are so different to other people on the so-called right is that when they get 100,000 people to a demonstration, which they've been able to do through the COVID movement, they've got 100,000 individuals. You know, the biggest organization at that rally of 100,000 people or 200,000 people was probably, you know, maybe 10 or 15 guys like Nick Patterson's Peacemakers, you know, and they're just guys from his church wearing the same t-shirt. And there's not one organization down there other than probably like if there was motorcycle groups or something like that, that's actually even close to 50 people or 100 people. And now we've demonstrated and we're nowhere near, you know, we're kind of in the clear from the COVID stuff. It's like all that's demobilized. They're not getting anyone to their rallies anymore. I mean, they're getting maybe 100 or 200 people to the COVID rallies, like the freedom rallies. And we're probably many years away from civil unrest like that again. And here we are in relative peace times regarding political revolutionary conditions. And here we are with, you know, the biggest organized body on the right. And that's only a small demonstration of our force in terms of, you know, that was midnight on a Friday in Melbourne in the CBD. And, you know, most of our members, most of our supporters, obviously, you know, aren't willing to demonstrate just yet. So wait until they are ready to demonstrate. We're going to have 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 men marching with Halley Hansen jackets on in the Black Bloc in formation. And that's a reality that's coming in the next couple of years. I'm not expecting to do it this year or next year, but we're certainly practicing.
Well, I'm interested to hear what the police put to you in this forced interview that they did after they arrested you. Because every time I've been arrested and they put the facts to me, they always got some ridiculous, convoluted narrative of the wrongs that I've done to the public, when obviously the case is the opposite. I'm interested to hear what they said.
So I was at the not voluntary, voluntary interview at the you must come to the voluntary interview or we'll arrest you interview. They basically put forward the witness statement from this no fixed address individual. They put forward his witness statement that, you know, he was woken up from his slumber to drums and some assholes marching through the street. And then he went to go confront them. Sorry, I got to mute my notifications. I don't know. People just, sorry, close. Yeah. Apparently he just, you know, just got woken from his slumber. And then he just went to go confront the guy at the front of the march. And he spat in front of him apparently. And then he doesn't remember anything after that. He wasn't sure who hit him and how many times he was hit, but possibly 10 times. Very brief statement. He didn't single me out in his statement. He didn't say that it was Thomas Sewell, the head of the march, that did it. He didn't say that. He doesn't even recall in his statement, you know, the altercation. He just recalls spitting and then basically, yeah, getting punched and kicked. So, yeah, that's his version of events. And so the police put to me that version of events. They obviously have the CCTV, and they obviously have what was put up on the independent media, like Noticer, and on our own channels. And so the police have seen all of that, and they have full knowledge of the truth of the situation. But instead, they put towards me the lies. They put towards me the false statement. And more or less that I was the aggressor. I didn't even know comment in the interview. I just said nothing. I was just completely mute. I think the only thing I said the whole interview was one of the cops who thought he was in a Hollywood movie when I was just not answering any questions, he said, "Are you not answering any questions because you're like mentally retarded?" And I replied to him, "You're a fucking unprofessional fuckwit. And don't speak to me like that again." And he didn't do that again, but he was pretty salty after I swore at him. But yeah, that's basically the only thing I said the whole interview, like just called the cop an unprofessional fuckwit, which he was. He's just a complete little fucking scumbag coward. Sorry, I thought I got out of Telegram. I'm still getting just assholes just unsolicited, and like, messages.
Did you get the impression that these coppers actually believe what they were saying? Like, they believe they're righteous?
No. So as soon as the interview was done, and I kind of just laughed at them and I said, "Oh, this is a funny technique, like a good cop, bad cop technique." But as soon as the interview was done and they extracted the DVDs from the machine and started putting the DVDs in the CD holder, the female cop said to me, "You know, Tom, we've seen the footage and we know he hit you first. You know, like, you have to understand from our perspective how hard it is to speak to you in this way and how hard it is to come to your house and to do this to you. You have to understand from our perspective, like, we don't want to do this. You know, like, you're not, you know, you don't need to be so mean to us. You don't need to be so rude to us and antagonistic." And I just said, boo-hoo, poor Victoria Police. Your job is so hard, coming to my house and threatening my family and threatening to knock my door down for not coming to a voluntary interview. Poor you, your job is so hard, you fucking losers. You know, like, they are just putrid, lying scum. They are just the worst creatures in this country. They are the worst traitors in this country. They were seeking sympathy, or it was some sort of manipulation tactic. They were seeking sympathy from me, saying, "Oh, we actually know the truth of the matter. We actually watched the CCTV. We actually saw this guy hit you. We actually know what you did with self-defense, but we just have to do the interview with you. It's just part of the process, Tom. Don't you understand? We're just doing our job. Why do you hate us? Why are you so mean to us?" And just absolutely revolting.
Yeah, well, the reality is they do not have to do any of that.
Correct.
There would have been heaps of fights.
That was the argument. That was the argument that I had with them. I said to them, this is allegedly a summary offense. Where is my summons? This is a summary offense. Where is my summons? You know, why have you not got a summons from the judge? Either a warrant for my arrest, a warrant to search my house, or a summons that I've got to go to court. And then they said to me, "Oh, you're not being charged." And I said, "Well, if I'm not being charged, why are you already making that decision that I'm not being charged? Like, why are you coming to my house for a so-called voluntary interview to not charge me when there's no summons? You haven't got this signed off by a judge. There's no warrant for my arrest." You know, so I called the lawyer, obviously, and the lawyer said that this is very bizarre. He doesn't see this very often. He says it's a very gray area of the law. And he says it just proves that the judges haven't asked for you to be arrested. The politicians have. Because this is not a normal local police unit that picks up a warrant or picks up a court order from the judge or a summons saying Mr. Sewell has, you know, committed an offense. We're going to go charge him, arrest him and charge him. That's not what happened here. These weren't local police. These were goons from the CBD that work in the political police department at West Melbourne Police Station. And these goons get given orders by police headquarters, who get given orders by the politicians. Lock this guy up. Lock this guy up. Process this guy. You know, arrest this guy. And they didn't. I have never had police come to my house and not have their body-worn cameras on them. There was three of these cops, and they didn't have body-worn cameras. Not just that they weren't on, they didn't have them. Which shows you that this is secret police tactics. They were trying to put me in the cop car and take me away. You know, there's no warrant. You know, no one knows where I am. It's just crazy. And I mean, we've got this 31st thing coming up in a week. I know we'll probably break into it later, but this is what they did to me during COVID. You know, they just locked me up and threw away the key for 210 days. It's just incredible. I mean, because there was this heightened political energy in the public, and the public didn't get a chance to hear what I had to say during the Freedom Rally. Because they had locked me up. So I had, you know, thoughts, I had considerations that this was going to happen again. So when I got in the back of the cop car, these secret police, these political police, because it's like an undercover car. It's not a real cop car. Well, I mean, it is a police car, but you know what I mean? It's not like a divvy van. You're not getting properly arrested and getting put in the divvy van. The head cop started lecturing me. He started lecturing my morality. He started saying to me, "Oh, Tom, you know what? Why did it have to be like this? Why didn't you just come in for a voluntary interview?" And I said, "Because then it's not voluntary, you fuckhead. You know, like, how dare you come to my house and basically demand that I come to a voluntary interview, you psychos." And then he was just attacking my morality. And I said, "You don't lecture me, you fucking half man, you coward. I mean, these cowards, like, there's no warrant. They've watched the CCTV. They know that I didn't commit a crime, but they're arresting me anyway because they're goons and they're being told to do it." And so because he was trying to lecture me on morality, I just abused him in the cop car because I didn't want to be in the car with this fucking faggot all the way to the police station. This fucking scumbag trying to lecture me on my morality when he's a coward goon for the system. So then they got the divvy van. And then when they got the divvy van, the normal police rocked up, the local police, and they got the body-worn cameras, and the body-worn cameras are on, and they put you in the divvy van, and they take you down the station, and they process you, and it's all done by the book. And that's a little bit, that's actually less of a concern than these political police. Your local cops, they're always going to be polite to you. They're not trying to psychologically, you know, harm you. They're not trying to psychologically harm your family. They're just, you know, they're just people that knock on doors and say, you know what I mean? They just hand out DV shit. They just deal with drunk people. They just deal with petty criminality, you know, kids stealing things from the shops, people spray painting. Not these guys from the city. These are political police. There's a complete, like, one's a special unit designated to harass us and our families. And the other are just, you know, you're kind of normal run-of-the-mill cop. And you're always going to be better off in the custody of a normal police officer than a political police officer. And a lot of Australians don't realize we have political police. So that's why, you know, I know it's a passionate situation and I've been vocal and been swearing, but it's been, you know, it's been a full on day. I mean, these people are absolutely disgusting the way they treat us. So.
Well, there's never been a good cop situation, has there? People talk about all these good cops. Well, like, where are they? I have never experienced a single good cop. After the demonstration, when we got pulled over, we went back to our cars and we got pulled over. These cops were fuming that we had the temerity to hold a political demonstration. They were slamming our doors, verbally abusing us and things like that. There's no good cops because none of us have ever experienced these mythical good cops. All of them are mercenaries who they want money and they will do whatever they have to do to keep that salary and to keep that money. That's the reality.
Yeah. Well, AFP that raided my house 2 weeks ago, the head cop, the guy that was in charge of the unit, said to me when I asked him what he was doing at my house, he said basically something along the lines of, "Well, if I won the lotto, I wouldn't be here." That was what he said to me. And the other one that I interrogated and asked what he was doing at my house, I asked him why he's a cop. He said, "Oh, the last job I was at, there wasn't much career progression, at least with the police. You know, you do your time and then you get a pay rise and then you do your time and then there's like this like clear progression." And I was like, "You fucking grub. These fucking animals. These are the people that are politically policing white Australians that are trying to organize the resistance to our genocide. These fucking animals. Like just little piggies. Like, oh, well, I'm only here because I got a mortgage. Pick another job. Go actually do some work for a living." You know, they're just despicable. They're absolutely despicable characters. But I don't want to ruin the vibe of the whole, like, that's my little outburst. I don't want to ruin the vibe of the whole stream.
Well, that's why they are called pigs. And that's why they're saying all cops are bastards exists. Because there's not a good one. We have never seen a good one. If somebody in the chat maybe needs to post a link to a good one, because none of us have ever seen a single good one.
Any of the good ones that did exist, they've all quit by now too because of after what happened through COVID and so on. Like I've spoken to a few ex-cops who sympathized with us. And, you know, they hit their limit a long time ago with what they could put up with, or what the bureaucracy for, you know, puts them through, and, you know, the immoral actions that they saw the police engage in over COVID against the protesters, and obviously forcing them all to get vaccines, et cetera, et cetera. Any good cops that did exist were, you know, filtered out. Obviously, I would object to the idea that they're all the same in the sense that these political police are worse. All cops are bastards, but those political police are specifically signing up to not just be, like, if there's a cop who gets into the force and, you know, they want to be in the anti-pedo unit or something, you can see, okay, maybe that's kind of admirable, right, on a certain level. But if they want to be in the political police unit, you know, no one forced them to go. It's a specialization. No one forced them to do that. Yes. So they're doing it. Profession.
Yeah,
they're doing it because they are signing up to essentially become members of the modern day NKVD, where they can basically, rather than prosecuting real crimes, they can go around disrupting, you know, political activities that the state doesn't like, which of all their case files, their biggest case files are going to be on us, obviously. And so these people are just putrid scum. And, you know, I object to you calling them goons, though. I thought we were the goons. Isn't that what Jacinta Allen called us? But
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. That's just what came out through the adrenaline, like just the like indignation in the moment. I was like, I couldn't think of the right word, so I was just calling them goons.
Well, they can be goons, and we can be goons as well. We're just goons for something good.
Yeah, yeah. We're just going to out-goon.
You could say we're the goon right, if you will. You know, they're the
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're just going to outgoon them. I mean, the reality is that their system is crumbling. It's only going to take a couple more years, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years. I don't know. But my mother-in-law was really upset for obvious reasons, because she was worried that her glass door was going to get smashed in. And when I got back from the police station, I walked back. I know you guys were driving around looking for me, but I just walked home. And when I got back to the back home, the mother-in-law asked me, why were they so angry? She's like, I've never seen police so angry before. Why were they so angry? And I said, because they're the police. And she's like, but I don't understand. Why weren't they polite? Why were they so angry at me? And I was like, because they hate us. And she's like, but I don't understand. Like, so you haven't been charged with anything? And I was like, no, I haven't. I haven't been charged with anything. And she's like, so how can they just barge in here and be so violent and aggressive and threaten to damage our house and be so angry at us when we haven't done anything wrong? And I was like, this is how the police are. Like, I know this is a harsh kind of reality. And it made me realize, like, the average person on the street, like my own mother-in-law, has never had an interaction with the political police. They actually don't know it exists. They don't even know that this is the caliber of people that are serving the government and enforcing the tyranny. They don't even know that. Like, she couldn't even comprehend that these weren't your 90s cops that are polite to you. You know, she thought that like police would be like, they'd knock on the front door and be like, hello, would you like to come for a voluntary interview? No. Okay. See you later. Bye. No, they like came around the back, you know, barged their way in, you know, they're carrying on. So, yeah. Anyway, what's the next topic?
It hasn't gone mainstream like it in Britain. Everyone knows that the police, all police in Britain are vermin. But
yes,
in Australia, it just hasn't gone mainstream yet.
Yeah, I think because it's being currently contained in these kind of CT and CIU units, the mainstream police aren't really dealing with political persecution yet, the so-called political crimes. And so I guess because of that, they're clearly building a cadre of political police in these specialized units in the CBD. And then those specialized police, I'm sure, will bleed through into the culture of the total police force. And that's probably where Britain's at, where in 5 years' time, you're just going to have normal goons from the local police unit just enforcing political crimes. At the moment, we're privileged that it's just this like hyper select task force that really just deals with us and isn't dealing with the majority of the general public that are upset about the government. So I guess it's another warning sign that we've got a limited amount of time to organize white Australians into a formed body so that we can get rid of the government and replace it with a better government. A real opposition, not a fake controlled opposition, but a real opposition to the government to create a new system of government. And we have a very limited amount of time to do that. So it's more onus on us and to urge our supporters to be more involved and to be more active because just within 2 weeks, I mean, Blair got raided, I got raided, Mikkel got raided, and then I've been raided again. How can they just keep doing this? How can we maintain our operations if it's just, you know, every fortnight it's court, it's lawfare? We're going to overcome. This is not a blackpilling situation, but it's just like we need your support. We need your help. We need more men on the ground. This is a real fight. It's a fight for our nation. It really is a fight for our nation. And it might not be the way that most people expected it to be or wanted it to be. And I think most people maybe expected that billionaires would come out and save us and, you know, the government would create a policy to, you know, enlist all the men in the army and would protect the country. But no, the enemy's within. The enemy is within the government and has completely paralyzed our immune system and our defense system as a nation. And so we need to innately, organically create an immune system of the folk. And that's what we're doing with the Vanguard. That's what we're doing with our organization. That's what White Australia is. It's about building an immune system to the traitors and the foreign elements and influence that is destroying our country. So
I would just like to say, while we bring it back to Nationals, you keep mentioning goons. Jacinta Allen, the Premier of Victoria, I can't believe she referred to us as goons. Just after we did the infamous goon right stream, I unleashed the goon right polemic on the movement, and we were all making jokes. Like when we're about to get out there, you know, was it Jacob or was it Tob? One of you got on the mic and said, "You got to get ready to go and goon swarm the city tonight." And like we kept memeing it. And then somehow in the ether, it manifested into Jacinta Allen's mind. So we've got some ability. There is a collective unconscious, and we actually can connect to the Premier of Victoria's mind and incept ideas into her brain. We are magicians. Like, this is evidence. This is hard evidence that we are actually magicians. So don't fuck with us. We're powerful, nigga. But do you guys want to keep talking about Nationals, or do you want to switch gears?
Well, we're probably done talking about the demonstration. Was there anything else? There was some people that came out and supported us as we were marching along. They weren't scared to get in front of the march, shake Tom's hand, and obviously there were a bunch of people who didn't support us as well. And obviously they were left unmolested unless they came up to the lines of the march and were yelling abuse at us or trying to push us or do anything like that. In that case, they learned pretty quickly that maybe do not approach 140 Nazis in black because you're not living in Hollywood. Yeah, with bad intentions, because you're not living in a Hollywood movie where, you know, you're going to be doing kung fu, you know, flipping over our lines and beating us all unconscious. You know, it's probably not going to end up well for you. So there were a few people who had to be pushed back away from the march, and obviously that guy who assaulted Tom didn't have a good day, a good night rather. So it was a rude awakening.
It was a good night left side. Yeah,
but there's a lot of supporters too. There was drunk women. They were starting Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi chants with us. There was guys coming out of the pub, you know, pumping Romans and, you know, waving thumbs up. One guy went up to Tom and like, he's like, "Are you Tom Sewell?" And it's like, obviously, like who else would be like,
no, I just look like
the
him.
The bald guy with the mustache leading the 150 Nazis down the streets of Melbourne. Some other dude, like, not Tom. I don't know who. But anyway, he shook his hand. It was kind of Chungus moment. We got some love. We got some love from the people. It wasn't all hate. But
in the debrief, we were saying that the next time those drunk girls coming out of the club start, you know, getting wild, that we're just going to have to make a special task force that picks up all the drunk girls from the club and just puts them on their shoulders like they're at the Bush Doof, and we just keep marching and just pretend that they're not there. So next March, if that happens, we do a midnight march and you see us, the next big one would have to be 250 Nazis. And if you're a drunk, you know, 20-year-old girl and you're out at the club and you see us marching by, just run out and we'll make it happen.
We need more tits out for the boys, like,
you know. No, I wasn't going that far, Joe. I was having a bit of decorum here.
We need some decorum. Hey, Goon Riot, we got to tits out for the boys,
just
ladies.
Just too hard. Just
make it happen.
They might not jump out now.
Well, but there was someone who was opposed to us that actually did that, that flashed us. There was like some disgusting tranny looking thing, but I think it wasn't an actual tranny. I think it was just a drug, like a junkie woman who did pull her breasts out, lack of breasts, actually. Quite horrifying.
There was a junkie Abbo man that mooned us.
There was that as well, but there was a woman that pulled her shirt down, and it was horrifying, frankly.
Yes, if you don't have good tits, keep them loaded. Like, we don't need to see that.
Someone should have taken off their mask and given it to her. She was just not. She needed to cover up.
Yes. Goon right. Yes. Honestly, it was like. I don't know how deep we want to go into this conversation, but there was definitely it was sexually charging for the women that were watching. I noticed like a lot of the women coming out of the bars and stuff, they were just like, this is more exciting than what's going on at the club. The energy, I mean, that girl that was criticizing us as well in that video, you could see the energy at the end. You know, the original TikTok that got uploaded, but right at the end, she's just like, fuck me, like, what is going on? And it was interesting energy. A lot of boys picked up on it.
The phrase fuck me, which was an interesting choice of phrase.
Yeah. Well, we just came to seize the day, like the Latins, you know. We came to seize the day, so here we are, the black shirts. It's just a return of masculinity, and obviously that's a bit of a spectacle. We got a lot of work to do. We want to do bigger marches in the future. It took a lot to make that happen, but you know, expect the next couple of marches to be not as big, and then we'll build back up again by next Australia Day. We'll probably have a massive march. So it just depends on how recruitment goes and how we go about organizing the men in all the states. But as I said in the past, we're growing our membership at about 40% every 6 months. And in terms of supporters, I can't really give you statistics on that because it's only been happening for about 6 months. But yeah, at the rate we're growing, 1,500 supporters in 6 months. I mean, we'll be at what, 10,000 supporters in
less
theory.
Than six.
Yeah, within a couple of years. So, yeah, we've been doing very well. It's tracking very well. And I mean, nationals, just over the nationals weekend, I think we had an extra 300 or 400 signups. So imagine if we'd been doing this from the start. Like, you know, we had about 400-500 people contact us through the original bot, and you know, there wasn't really a way of incorporating them into the org after the previous nationals. So, but we're under cyber attack at the moment. I will mention that, but we won't talk too much about it. But I think the powerlifting event went really well. So after the activism, the powerlifting event was the next day. That went really well. We had some massive lifts. I think Blair pulled like 260 kilos. One of the New South Wales guys that won last year's powerlifting comp, I don't know if he wants me to mention his name online, he probably doesn't want to get doxxed, but he pulled 260 as well on the deadlift, which is pretty good. Like, no belt, you know, just raw 260 kilo deadlifts, two of them. A whole bunch of guys deadlifting 230, 240. It was just a really impressive day. And then, yeah, the wholesome Chungus music, you know, we had the family music, the family folk music. That was awesome. The babies were all the toddlers were enjoying that. And then, yeah, later on through the night, you know, maybe Joel can cover it. yeah, I was pretty sore and injured from just the what had transpired. So I didn't really attend the rave. I mean, I popped in like twice and the boys were pretty toasty. So I was like, oh, Jesus, intense.
You projected a spinning Sun'n'Red GIF onto the wall behind the DJ, which looked pretty sick. And we dubbed it the Sun'n'Rave. The hype edit will be a lot of fun. We had like swastika glow sticks and we were hacking away to 170 BPM GABA remixes of Hitler speeches and shit. I wanted to project anime girls onto the wall, but we had too much to organize. It was a bit much, but maybe next time. But we had the Rock Against Communism concert, which went super hard. Everyone loved that. Everyone was quite toasty at that point. And the mosh pit was packed out. We had this room. The venue that we hired was incredible. It had like this stage outside that you could, hundreds of people could fit around the stage. But then we also had this like nightclub building, basically, that had a stage inside it and a bar up the back. And we had a bar going. And the place was just packed out with this huge mosh pit. And the boys playing did a great job. Rock Against Communism, for those who don't know, is basically skinhead rock. So it sounds like hardcore punk, but all the lyrics are racist and, you know, talking about bashing commies and shit like that. Hitler was right. Niggas need to get out, etc. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
Saxon was great as well. We had Saxon. We had like an Aussie rap. Well, he's a New Zealander, but we had, you know, that style of rap as well. The white nationalist rap. Rule to Rise guys. Yeah,
and it was very surprising because I went and listened to the rap set as well, and I'm not somebody who listens to rap a lot. I prefer rock and classical music and that stuff more. But I was getting charged up. I thought it was incredible. The performers were very good, and the songs were very good, and just the energy of everyone there. It was like, and all the people there said, it was the first rap event they've ever seen where there was a mosh pit and everyone was listening to it and fighting each other. And it was like the RAC. Like, obviously, it's going to happen at the RAC. Everyone's going to be fighting. But at the rap one, everyone was fighting as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the music event was perfect.
It was great. Yeah. Like, because there was also the Sydney boys as well, the Aussie guys.
Yeah. Well, I personally,
it's on the head with it. Yeah, like I'm looking for all the high jeets. That was funny. As black shoes. Yeah. That was funny. Black pants. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see all the music videos that come from that. I mean, even the old heads. I was surprised how many old heads were like, "This is fucking great." Like, I thought the older guys would have been like, "Ah, this is kind of young kids these days," but they were all at the front, like just pumping it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the first time we've ever done, like, a music thing through nationalism. Obviously, in the past, like, in the 80s and 90s, like, RAC was massive, and half of the nationalist movement was built around the music scene. And now we've kind of done it the other way around, where the nationalist movement has basically got no music scene in it, and it's all just been activism and active club and training. And now, finally, we're integrating the, you know, the kind of partying aspect and the music aspect to it. And obviously, we don't want to overdo it. And as I said, next year, it'll be at the end of the event. We'll make it the last thing over the weekend. But yeah, we really nailed it for first time. And yeah, the music videos that are going to come out and the hype edits that are going to come out from the whole weekend, the boys have got months worth of footage to go through. So I'm really excited, really excited.
Yeah, the documentary, everyone loved the documentary that was made last time because it was brilliant about what happened on Australia Day and that whole weekend. The same boys are going to make a documentary on this one. They did such a fantastic job last time. And this documentary, I think, is going to be longer. It's going to be more elaborate. And because there's just so much that happened over the weekend for them to cover. And I think when that comes out, I think people are going to love it. I think people are going to be very impressed. And if the production value is what it was last time or even better, I mean, I'm pretty keen. There's just going to be so many... There were so many just epic moments throughout the whole weekend, and everyone just kept saying, "This is the best fucking weekend ever. I fucking love this shit." Like, We're a bit frosty though on the Sunday when we did the speeches. I think you're right. We should do the partying last, because on the Sunday everyone was a bit more low energy because we just put in so much. The activism on the first night went very late into the evening, and then the next day was a full on day, full on evening. But the speeches were still solid. Obviously, Tom's speech and Jacob's speech are both released. You can watch them on Telegram. They're only on Telegram for now, aren't they? In full version.
I think so, yeah.
We should probably put them up on Rumble.
I should upload them to Gab as well. I forgot to upload them to Gab, but I'll upload them when.
You should put them on Rumble as well. We got on the White Oz Media channel. I don't know if they've uploaded them on Rumble.
I'm just letting you guys know. I've only got about 7% battery, and I can't. I'm not at like a place I can charge. So if the laptop dies, I could go on the phone for a bit, but. Yeah, I'm pretty tired. I've had a full-on day. So do we want to quickly touch on, like, start the 31st, and then when the battery goes, I'm out. I'll just sign out automatically, basically.
Yeah.
I'm about to do a press release explaining our position on the 31st. So I don't want to go into too much detail as to what our exact plans are until that goes live to the public. But, you know, there are some agreed-upon facts already that everyone's on board with. That we can talk about, but I do want to wait mostly. I'd rather talk about the event generally.
Yeah. So obviously everyone has probably seen all the track, you know, all the promotion online. There's going to be nationalist marches in every city in Australia on the 31st of August. It was somewhat organic. It's been a pretty organic process where this date, there were like these kids in Adelaide who started promoting the idea, but they, you know, they abdicated the space basically because they're just kids from Adelaide that had no idea what they were doing. But now people are getting organized. Nationalists around the country are going to organize rallies in every city. And you can find on the marchforaustralia.org website and their social media is like all the details about where the rallies are going to be, what time and so on in each city. And obviously, we're supportive of this because this is a long overdue event that has needed to happen for a long time because the rallies are explicitly against mass immigration. The central demand of the rally is that we need a stop to mass immigration, and everyone needs to bring their Aussie flags. No foreign flags allowed. No ABO flags allowed. Aussie flags only. And it's about Australian pride. It's about white pride, really, and about asserting, I think, white Australian sovereignty, although maybe... some of the organizers wouldn't explicitly say that, but that's obviously what it is. It seems like genuine white nationalist rallies across the country. So very exciting. I don't know if Tom's frozen because his battery died, or
he does look frozen now that you mention it. I was looking at you as you were speaking. He must just maybe he'll get on his phone, but yeah, there he is. Yeah.
But anyway, obviously, Tom's going to put out a press release like he said, but we should just come out and say, like, our intention is to go to these events and to support the events. And we encourage everyone watching the show, if you're Australian, obviously, to come down and support these events because the public dissatisfaction about mass immigration needs to show itself on the streets because obviously the political system is providing no release valve for that frustration. We're going to try and create a political party that can, but you know, there's no serious political opposition to this agenda. The One Nation Party, they make better noises about immigration than the other parties, obviously, but ultimately when push comes to shove, they capitulate. They're not a serious opposition movement. So this is an organic nationalist street movement. And obviously Auspil's been promoting it. Beck Freedom has been promoting it. We're behind it. And we support it.
All the right people are coming out against it. All of these containment rights. Tom's back.
I'm back. I'm back.
I'm so tired.
You just froze. You were just frozen there, and Joel pointed it out. You were just like frozen, still there for like 10 seconds after you must have run out of power.
Yeah. While I'm here, I'll stay for a couple of minutes and I'm going to go to bed.
But we were just talking about what is it? August 31st, that all the right people are coming out against it, all of the containment right, all of these cucks who they're really not focused on stopping mass immigration. Most of these people are products of mass immigration itself. And they're more concerned about turning it into an anti-Nazi rally than into a rally against government policy and multiculturalism and mass immigration, which is what was the purpose, the stated purpose of it. And we are the most prolific campaigners against mass immigration this country has. The idea that we're going to be excluded from it is ridiculous. The idea that people don't want us there is ridiculous. We have had so much public support on not only, on this issue, obviously, particularly, but just generally. The right has rallied around us as they've seen us constantly fighting for what they want. And they've seen the system come out against us and they've expressed their outrage at the fact that we're being mistreated by the system. So everywhere we go, people that are right wing and who are patriotic actually like us. The idea that these Browns and these race traders and these libertarians and all these kind of people who are coming out against us and they want a soft rally, they want it to be a multicultural rally. The idea that they are representing the majority of the people that are going to be there, well, they're going to find out otherwise on the day.
Absolutely.
That's why it's so important as well that all of you are down there. I don't want any excuses. This is a day for patriots to mobilize. Every patriot must show up to one of these rallies, whatever city you live in. We need big numbers. We need there to be the perception in the Australian public that the people are waking up. And there's no better way to communicate that message to the public and to empower the Australian people to believe in nationalism, to believe in resisting this agenda rather than, you know, this state of demoralization that so many people are in, than to see every city in Australia full of patriots with Aussie flags standing up against mass immigration. That is going to communicate that message loud and clear that white Australia is not going down without a fight.
And bonus points if you are wearing a black jacket. Bonus points. So that's really handsome. Yeah. But also come with your mates. It's very important. My biggest advice to people is to bring their families, to bring their friends, to bring their work colleagues, and to organize beforehand. Don't just show up randomly on the day. Organize with your mates beforehand. Oh, we're going to go down together. And that's for two reasons. One, we'll have a better turnout. And two, you're going to be safer. You're going to have your mates with you, and your mates are going to have your back. Don't come down as an individual. I mean, if you've got no mates and if you don't know anyone, hopefully you find friends on the day. But yeah, stick together with your mates, because the left, whether it's that Jordan Van Lamb, purple pingers, faggot, calling for like, what do you say? Like militant, resistant, counter protest. It's like, you'll do nothing, you fucking flog. Like you are just a pencil neck. You will get snapped in half by one of our 18-year-old gooners. You won't last 5 seconds at the rally, Jordan Van Lamb. I'm going to look for you on the day, buddy. But anyway, you know, but then you've got actually some pretty serious people from certain particular ethnic communities that, you know, the people that need to be chucked in the machete bins. And, you know, they're calling for violence. So, you know, bring your families. I know that sounds like, whoa, that's a bit of a dichotomy, but no, be staunch. Bring your families. Like, I'm going to bring my missus. Everyone should bring their families. Let's make this a family-friendly event and make it clear that we're not intimidated by these people. So come down in numbers. Come down with your families and friends. Look, I think these people are all talk. I think they're going to avoid us on the day. I think there's going to be a massive turnout. I was saying I was expecting about 1,000. Other people are saying they're expecting 10,000. Maybe it'll be halfway. 40,000. Yeah, some people are saying even bigger. So
yeah.
Different circles have said different things to me. Like a lot of normies that just watch TV and, you know, they're kind of, they're not really in our circles at all. They've said they haven't even heard of the rallies. And then other normies that I've spoken to have said, oh yeah, all my mates from work are coming down. So it's like, it seems to be maybe like predominantly blue collar. I think there's going to be a lot of blue collar people there in the day, but don't be disheartened if you're a white collar person. Like, you know, if you're worried about your identity, just wear a hat and sunnies. You know, this is not something that you can say as an excuse. Oh, I don't want to lose my job. I'm not coming down because I don't want to lose my job. This is going to be a massive march for Australia and a message. We've got to send a message to the public that, you know, there's a huge and growing number of Australians that want to preserve our racial demographics and improve them. And that means stopping immigration and ultimately beginning the deportations. So, or re-migration, as some people might say. But yeah, before I bow out for tonight, I will be putting out a public statement regarding the org's responsibilities on the day and what our intentions are on the day and how we're going to assist on the day. It's not our event. I want to make that very clear. We didn't make this event. It's not our event. We have been asked to help to a certain capacity, but we've also been asked to not steal the spotlight. And that's obviously going to be very hard because the media will target fixate on us quite heavily. But we don't want to steal the spotlight. We've had our nationals. We've had our little internal thing. You know, we did all our speeches and our seminars and our events. This is about the public. This is about the public waking up and saying no to mass immigration and stopping immigration. And we're there to support it. I want to make that very clear. The NSN are going to be there. White Australia is going to be there. And we're going to be there in support of the organizers and support of the March for Australia. So without giving too much away, that will be put in writing. And the other thing is we're going to have a zero tolerance for Zionists, agitators, disruptors, you know, people that are coming there with intentions to hijack the rally and turn it into something other than stopping immigration. People that are going to try to turn up and say, no, no, this is about multicultural unity and we're all Australians. People like that are subversive termites. They're white ants looking to take over the platform to, you know, change the righteous anger that Australians have that they're losing their identity. These people are coming to try to disarm them and change their righteous anger into these meaningless platitudes of diversity and equality and harmony and social cohesion. And this is a method for the government to, and for the containment right to stop organic grassroots resistance to the genocide that our people are being subjected to, by these foreign, and traitorous elites. So, if there's anything else, I can stay on for a little bit more, but I think that's all. Jacob and Joel.
Yeah, do you have a message for Avi Yemeni, the Jew rat, if he wants to show up?
Oh, look, I'll leave that to you. I mean, Avi was very rude and disrespectful to you. The only conversation I've had with Avi ever was at the Stop Immigration rally we did 2 years ago, which was actually, I think, the first time I met you in person, Joel. I think that was about two and a half years ago. And Avi came up to me. There is an encounter of that interview. And he said that we were losers and that no one supported us and we were weirdos with short shorts. And he was obsessed with the short shorts because I think he's a homosexual. Or he likes black women, so that's basically a homosexual. He's got like half black children or something. He's sick. A sick little Jew boy. And he had no one with him. He had a bodyguard that he paid. And he had an Asian cameraman that he paid, but he didn't have any boys with him. And he was saying that we were losers because there was like only 25 of us, but no one was being paid to be there on our side. Our boys are loyal. We're there because we have the right belief system. We have the right ideology and we have the right strategy and time will prove us correct. And so that was the only encounter I've ever had with Avi Yemeni. And so on the day, I guess we'll have to see how many Lions of Zion Avi Yemeni can muster, because last time he only had 5 or 6 and there was that Nick Patterson and they were very rude to you, Joel, and to some of the young guys. I noticed some of those Zionists put their hands around the throat of one of the young lads that came down with you. So, yeah, I mean, if you want me to say it, I'll say it. But, Avi, you're not welcome. Anyone that brings Israeli flags, anyone that comes with a Zionist or Palestinian agenda, you're not welcome. This is about Australia. This is about patriotism. This is about nationalism. And it's about our folk, our people. Everyone else has their fucking day in the sun. This is going to be our day in the sun as Australians. So, yeah, if Avi Yemeni comes, him and his bodyguard are getting ejected. There's going to be no tolerance for those subversive little white ants coming to this march. I'll make that very clear.
Yeah, I mean, Avi's an Israeli. He's a Jew. He's not an Australian. So he needs to fuck off, basically. This is not his day. And
Well, that's another thing. Sorry to interrupt, but Avi fought for Israel. I fought for Australia. I served Australia. I didn't fight for Australia, but I served Australia. So I was in the Australian army, willing to fight for Australia. And Avi was in the Israeli army. So, you know, Avi goes to the Zionist marches, and we're going to go to the Australian marches. That's how it's going to work. He's not welcome at ours, and apparently we're not welcome at his. Okay. We don't want to go to Zionist marches. We hate the Zionists. So.
Well, yeah, it is the march exactly. For Australia. It's not the march for Israel. And that's what these people want to make it. They want to make it the march for Aboriginality or the march for Israel. No, it's actually the march for Australia. It's the march to end immigration. And we represent that position, whether they like it or not. We are for Australia and we are against immigration. These people are... Israel, Palestine, that's irrelevant, and Aboriginality, that's irrelevant as well. We're talking about Australia here, not a bunch of tribes out in the desert.
Well, it's been quite interesting, the discourse around this. Number one, the discourse around us. There are a lot of people trying to attack this rally, and the reason why they were trying to attack this rally was because, from my intel, they tried to hijack the rally. There were a bunch of people connected to establishment conservative circles and Zionist circles who wanted to make this rally about digital ID and about net zero and about all this bullshit that has nothing to do with immigration or Australian nationalism, about taxes, like just garbage. And they said, well, we're not, you know, we want to make it about this and that, and we can bring in these organizers and this money and these politicians. And the organizers are actual nationalists. And they told him to go fuck yourself. We don't need politicians from the One Nation Party or from the Liberal Party here. We don't give a like. Obviously, we have positions on all these other issues, but we don't give a fuck about them on this day. This day is about mass immigration. There hasn't been a proper street response to mass immigration in God knows how long. These are shaping up to be the biggest nationalist street rallies in the 21st century in Australian history. If it goes as people are expecting, long overdue. And that's the thing in politics. This is what conservatives always want to do. They want to clutter everything with all of these side issues and then neutralize the space so it becomes about nothing. And there's also interesting discourse. People are saying, oh, well, I'm a quarter Aboriginal. I want to bring my Aboriginal flag because Aboriginals are Australians. Hey, wait a second. If you're Australians, why do you need your own? Why do you have your own flag then? It makes no fucking sense. They want to have it both ways. Apparently, they're Australians, but also they get to have their own separate identity, Aboriginals, and claim they're the first peoples and this is really their land and so on, which just proves that they aren't Australians, which is why Abos should fuck off and also their flag should fuck off. It's Australian flags and Australian flags only. And then also the Palestine thing has been interesting because there's actually been infighting in the left. The Arabs, like the actual Palestinians, my intel says that from people I know in the movement, that they didn't want to go up against the March for Australia because they don't want to create this Palestinians versus Aussies dichotomy, right? Because Australia just recognized Palestine as a state, which is one of the, you know, it was funny how it pissed off the Jews, I'll put it that way. But we've recognized Palestine as a state now. Obviously, their protest movement has been successful. They've won a lot of sympathy for Palestine in the Australian people because of what Israel has done to them and people thinking that, it, you know, I think correctly, that it's a genocide. And so people oppose that, and people, you know, the average Australian is actually on the side of Palestine against Israel in that stoush. But at the same time, the average Australian also doesn't actually give that much of a fuck about it either way and is focused on Australian issues. But having said that, the Palestinians know that they've made a lot of ground with Australians, and they don't want to go and fuck it up by creating this Aussie flags versus Palestine flags event, because that will just fuel pro-Israel sentiment among patriots. And a lot of work has been done on the right to create an anti-Israel right in Australia that I think we've contributed a lot to, but a lot of other right-wing politicians that are outside of the major parties are now taking an anti-Israel position, Gerard Rennick, Mark Latham, etc. And so they're seeing the progress that has been made. They don't want to squander it, and which makes sense from their point of view. Obviously, from the point of view of people like us, we're not fucking little Jew bots that want to go around fighting the Jews' battles for them either, which is why we leave the Palestinian shit alone and we don't touch it. But the communists, who have weaseled their way in to run the pro-Palestine movement, are now trying to then take the pro-Palestine movement and direct it against us. They're trying to use all the goodwill that has been built up around the pro-Palestine movement and then deploy it against their real enemy, which is nationalists and patriots, because these communists, they don't really give a shit about Palestine. The Palestine issue is just an issue that they can use to organize, because communists need to have a reason to go into the street every weekend. And people don't want to go in the street every weekend for Karl Marx. People don't want to go in the street every weekend for Bolshevism. People want to go in the street every weekend for Palestine, but not for actual communism. So they need to like mix their ideology with some garbage that people will actually care about, so they can have a regular street movement. And now their true colors are showing, that these, you know, the purple pingers and so on of the world, Palestine is just an instrument to their ends. And really what they're about is that they're anti-white. They don't really, the Palestinians are a tool that they think they can use and manipulate. And so infighting is breaking out on the pro-Palestine movement. The Arabs are showing, a lot of them, some of them have come out and said it. A lot of them are basically pussing out, and they're not coming out and saying it. They don't want to be seen to be sympathizing with us, or they don't want to be seen to be, they don't want to turn on the communists too hard. But the infighting is happening behind the scenes in a big way. So obviously the communists are organizing their counter rally in Melbourne, but ultimately I don't think their turnout is going to be very good, because the problem that the communists have is that their followers are a bunch of freaks with 38 different, you know, mental illnesses that are on all these different pills and have all these different excuses why they can't show up to anything, because it's not a good time for them right now because they're dealing with their third gender transition or something. And so it's going to be very hard for them to get the people out. And they can get people to come out and march for Palestine, because that's an actual issue that people are emotional about. It's going to be a lot harder for them to get people to come out against Australia. So I don't think they're going to be able to mog the March for Australia. I think the March for Australia is going to mog the communist march, and the communists are going to look very weak and pathetic. And so I invite them to come out and look weak and pathetic. And if they try shit, see what happens, because they're going to be outnumbered and they're all weak as piss. But it's good to see the infighting, and it's good to see the infighting on the right between all of these non-white influencers who think they can tell Australians what political beliefs they should have and what extremists they're supposed to condemn and so on. And you look at the comments of like Big Chalky and all these types, these online influencers, non-white online influencers who think they can tell Australian patriots what to believe, and they're getting smoked. The patriots are like, fuck you, you're brown. And they're getting absolutely abused. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, they're getting raped on social media by real Aussie patriots who are not going to be told by brown people who they're allowed to associate with or what kind of politics they should have. The verdict is in from the online discussion forums, and it's that if NSN show up, good. We're going to be there anyway. We don't give a fuck. The left have Antifa, far-left communists, not just at all of their rallies, but literally running them. So why the fuck shouldn't the right have us there? You know, we are far. We're the far. The response to Antifa is far. You need to have radicals on the right to fight radicals on the left. You can't fight radicals with moderates. You'll lose every time. And so the right needs to stop trying to fight radicals with moderation, which is just surrendering space to the enemy, and fight fire with fire. Fight radicals with radicals. They've got their gooners. We need our gooners. So the people are going to be happy that we're there, because it's probably going to get a little gnarly. There's going to be some opposition in the streets.
And you're going to want to have some tough cunt Nazis there to make sure that no one fucks with the rally and everyone's kept safe. And that's what we'll do.
All righty.
That's exactly it. Are you going to head off?
I'll let you make your point. Yeah, you go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're going to – if commies break through the line and the police are just going to allow them to run amok, you're going to want black shirts there that will actually protect you and your mates and your family if you bring them along. The reality is there's going to be these militant anti-fascists. Now, there probably won't be that many of them, as Joel already said. And when we saw the opposition we had to our Nationals event in Melbourne, Melbourne Antifa are supposed to be the most organized Antifa in the country. They could only mobilize 20 boomers who were saying they were reprimanding us in the most severe way, saying we're not nice people to the media. And they were just pathetic. And they couldn't do anything to oppose us. So they're quite angry about that. They're going to try and mobilize to this 31st of August rally. But they're weak. But nonetheless, if the police aid and abet them, which often they have done in the past, you're going to want us there to protect you and your family. And I'm telling you, you may not agree with us 100%, but we're not going to attack you for being white and nationalistic. These people are. They are going to try and smash your skull because you're a proud white man and you want Australia to remain Australian.
Exactly. You got to fight fire with fire. And like, why would all you right. be offended? Oh, we're extremists. Don't you want people to be extremists? Oh, see ya. See ya.
Yeah. See you later.
But yeah, people say, oh, we can't have extremists on our side. These people are too extreme. What are we extreme about in defending you? If you're a white Australian, our extremism is in defense of you. Don't you want people on your side that are willing to go all the way, that are willing to fight for you? Like, that's awesome. I like having people that are willing to fight for me. I wish there was more. Like, I don't understand why you're offended by this. You want to have moderates who are willing to make some arguments that are somewhat in your favor in suits, who will run away if someone attacks you. That's who you want to have on your corner? Or do you want to have guys that are literally, this is what we train for. People say, what's the point of going into the park and punching each other in the head every week? That's not real politics. Why do you do street marches? All the stuff that we've done for years, the training, the activism and so on, it's just prepared us to be able to help at an event like this, to be the exact kind of guys you want there. So
we've seen these anti-fascist coping, saying that we're cowards because we go for our nighttime marches and all of these kind of things. But the reality is we showed up, 20 of us, to their rally where they had probably 300, 400, 500 Browns and communists, and they didn't do a single thing. They're not ready to fight us. They're not going to fight us. And when we're there in numbers at the March of Australia and they see black shirts who aren't going to allow them to basically have their way with us and throw things at us and attack us, they're not going to do anything.
Yeah, it's time to take back control of the cities. And look, if we take the cities of Australia on August 31 together as patriots, as white Australians, then what's possible next Australia Day? We should do it again and take the city back from these communists and these Aboriginals. This is step one on a multi-step process, but we need to show each other.
You've cut out. If you can hear me, I can't hear you now. I think you may have cut out on the stream. Hopefully I'm still speaking. I don't know.
I can hear you now.
I can hear you, yeah.
Yeah, I know. That was weird. But yeah, what I was saying is just that we need to show each other as Australians that we're willing to stand shoulder to shoulder and fight for our nation. That's what this rally is about. It's a performance for our own side. It's a show of strength to ourselves to give out each other and the nation collectively the willpower to take the next steps that are going to be necessary, because this is just the beginning of a long road ahead if there's going to be a successful nationalist movement in this country. But the scenes, when if there's big patriot mobilizations in every city, the vision will be broadcast on every television screen and all over social media for the whole country and the whole world to see. And the narrative will be that the Australians are fighting back. The Australians are rising up, and it will completely change the discourse. And all of our political enemies will have a meltdown. It will be glorious. And, you know, it could be the start of something truly, truly great. So everyone needs to be down there. I don't want to hear any excuses. Don't be a pussy. You're not going to get doxxed for going to a rally with thousands and thousands of people at it. There's too many people there. Wear a hat and sunnies. You'll be fine. March around. And yeah, if you see a Zionist, push them out. If you see someone with an ABBO flag, tell them to take it down. Like, you know, we need the crowd to self-police a little bit. But frankly, I don't think we're going to have too much of that. I think
obviously don't attack people. Don't attack start people. Fights and things. But make it clear that these people are not welcome. This is a march for Australia. It's not a march for multiculturalism and Aboriginality. If they want that, why don't they listen to the ABC? Why don't they watch the ABC? Why don't they, if they want the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags, why don't they listen to a Labor Party press release? Like, if they want those flags, why don't they join the Labor Party? They love those flags. We're here to march for Australia. We want the Australian national flag. That's all that is going to be tolerated in that crowd. And if you bring one of these Aboriginal flags or Torres Strait Islander flags or Israel flags or any other national flag that is not the Australian national flag, you are going to be told off and you're going to be humiliated in front of that crowd.
Yeah, good. But I can't wait to feel the aura.
There's going to be people that even want to bring other nations' flags, even ones that are allied with us, like maybe they're Americans, but they support Australia. They want to bring an American flag, or maybe they're English or something like that. But this is a march for Australia. Like, you should be here for Australia. It's not for you to show that, hey, I moved here from America, or hey, I moved here from Britain or Germany or Sweden or something like that. Now, this is a march for Australia. Bring an Australian flag. Be proud to be Australian, to be here in Australia and marching for Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very simple. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to feeling the energy, the aura of the city full of patriots. I think personally, I'm going to be in Sydney for this one. A lot of the boys are going to be in Melbourne, but every city, you will see some of our boys there. So come down, say hello. If you're a supporter, come stand. If you want to be, come meet the boys, come stand with the boys, say hi. And let's stand together as proud Australians and make this event a success. So I think all patriots have to mobilize, and I think they will. We're still 9 days out. There's still more narrative to go, but I've been very pleased to see what has been said online so far, the support for us, the support for not cucking, the support for, you know, basically the counterattack, I would say, the goon swarming in the comment sections of all the counter signalers, the pressure on right wingers to stand with us, not against us. It's been great to see. And it's heralding a new future for the Australian right. A new nationalist right is emerging in this country. We can see the foundation of it now. There's something concrete to believe in. I don't understand how you could be blackpilled. Obviously, there's a long way to go, but it's very clear that things are heating up and are moving in the correct direction. That's why I called the stream "The Fire Rises," not just for us as an organization, but the movement in general. It's going to be a big few weeks, but we've been gone for 2 hours. Obviously, Blair couldn't make it tonight. I apologize on his behalf. He had something come up. But luckily, Jacob was here and Tom could join us for a bit. So you still got a good stream. Now, I'm going to go through some of these super chats. And we'll round out the stream like that. Mr. Me on entropystream.live said, congrats on the weekend and keep fighting the good fight. There's also an entropy stream super chat from Ezra Goldstein, but they were talking shit, so I'm not even going to read it out. But thanks for your money. Balbo said, thoughts on the Somali bragging about how he's going to shoot up the Melbourne rally on the 31st with an automatic Glock. His name is deeds.23 on Instagram. I think there needs to be a public campaign for him to be arrested for making threats to kill. That's a crime. He should be put in prison. So find out who this guy is. And
it's even worse because it's politically, it's related to politics. It's a, exactly. It's literally a terroristic threat. ASIO has a lot to say about our activism, putting up stickers and demonstrating. What about these blacks who are saying that they're going to show up to a political demonstration and start shooting into the crowd?
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But also, he's obviously talking shit. He's not going to do anything. And there's going to be so many patriots. Yeah,
obviously, it's advocacy. It's advocacy of terrorism. It's making the threat of terrorism. That is a crime. We have broad counterterrorism laws in this country after the 9/11 attacks. That video he made is a crime. That is a crime, and you get serious jail time for making that crime. And politicians say that they're tough on terrorism, but obviously they're just tough on our activism unless they take action and arrest this individual and charge him with making terroristic threats. Because if a nationalist made a video like that, there would be zero chance he would not be raided and charged with making terroristic threats. You don't have us saying, hey, go to the, you know, we need to go to this leftist rally and start killing people. Nobody is doing that on our side because we understand, well, obviously we just don't want that to happen. And we understand that it's a crime and we're going to be arrested if we do that. But these blacks obviously feel emboldened to do it. And that's why they're doing it. And it's only going to stop if the police actually go through and arrest and charge this individual for making a terroristic threat.
Yeah, so people have to call it out. Like, you need to put pressure on other right-wing influencers, people broadly, media companies, you know, email the mainstream media and say, what the fuck, do a story on this. You guys need to pressure a media shitstorm out of it. And not just like, oh, look at what the black people are saying, but like demanding that he is arrested. Because, I mean, it's just ridiculous. What, we can have niggers making like open threats to shoot patriots and nothing is done? It's just outrageous. It's egregious. It's unacceptable.
Repeat what the TikTok, the username was, so people, it's clear for people to.
Yeah, so his username is deeds.23 on Instagram. deeds.23. 88 Talk said, the Winter Nationalist Weekend was awesome, high energy and high trust. Being able to leave my handbag unattended and car unlocked felt amazing and so foreign. It's been decades since anything felt so right. Well, I'm hoping that it's a woman saying this because she's talking about her handbag. But yeah, it's nice that you felt that way. I'm glad you felt comfortable at the event. But of course it was high trust because Nazis are good people. Sean McKenzie 01 said, Tom didn't do nothing. You guys need to get the setup Jacob has, beast camera and audio. And then he spelled out nigger. Yeah, Jacob's got a sick setup. I am envious. I need to get on that level. I agree with you. Well, send more super chats and I'll buy some sick shit like Herson has.
Well, soon we're going to be upgrading the setup for everybody that will be on this podcast. So there will be comparable equality across all the people that are on the podcast.
Yeah, Top Secret said he just did one of these emojis. I see he's a fellow patriot. Rigo Weber said, super proud watching you guys march at the Friday 1 a.m. We started at 12. It was reported at 1 a.m. because that was when we got the most attention, when we were almost done. We were almost out for an hour. So you guys looked amazing and super disciplined. Who won the powerlifting competition? How'd you guys go personally at the comp?
I don't want to say his name, the guy, because he isn't Doc's, the guy who won.
It was just a Sydney right. sider, wasn't it?
Yeah. Or yeah, he's from New South Wales. I went okay. Jacob didn't compete. I went all right. I don't actually remember where I placed, but yeah, I went pretty good. I think in like the second flight, I was one of the best lifters. So yeah, it was pretty fun. It was pretty good. What else we got here? Jake G43 said, I love the contrast between Tom, Jacob, and Joel. Tom's highlights about nationals involve family inclusion, the children, and the community, but the boys are talking up the raving and the moshing. I guess this is like various degrees of longhoused between us, and but no. Obviously, it's obviously no. It was a good chungus for the family, and that's great. I love how the organization. There's a lot of people in the organization with young kids, and supporters came down with kids as well. And obviously, it's great to have. You know, all the youngsters running around because that's the next generation, and they're going to be able to grow up in a community of people with shared values. And, you know, it's great to see that that's being provided to them, like the community, because there's nothing more important, I would say, when you're raising kids than having a good community around them, because ultimately kids are sponges and they just kind of take in the influences that are around them. Even if you try to do a really good job as parents, if they're surrounded by like zogged out freaks, they're probably going to become a zogged out freak.
Mm. Yeah. Well, there was everything there. It was not just stuff for boys, but for the boys, but yeah, also for families. There were speeches for intellectual people. There was obviously the music for people that enjoy that. There was the activism for the diehard patriotic activists. So yeah, we're doing everything basically. There's something for everyone.
Yeah, and if you want to be at the next one, you got to sign up as a political supporter. So sign up as a political supporter, and you can be invited and vetted to come to the next one, which will be around the time of Australia Day next year. So we don't know which state it will be in yet. We haven't announced that yet, but you want to sign up. You want to be. We go around the country, so eventually we'll end up. In the city near you. Home of the Brave said, I'm glad to hear you guys are supportive of the adjacent August 31st rally. Here in America, white nationalists would be counter-signaling it because they're addicted to losing and would rather be right than win. Well, I'm not going to shit on the Americans, but this is a no-brainer to support this one. I mean, patriots mobilizing in every city in Australia against mass immigration. I mean, how could you not support that? Like, realistically, what more could you want? Like, for that's exactly what we want right now. That's exactly what's needed right now. So I think it's a no-brainer that we support it. How couldn't we? The main thing we were worried about was Zionist and conservative hijackers watering it down and turning it into an event that wasn't nationalist. And nationalists seized control and pushed out these subversives, and so kudos to them for doing so and pushing away, you know, the Joel Jamals and so on of the political scene who wanted to water it down and cuck it and make it gay and AIDS. So that's why
they're doing their own gay and AIDS rally as well. They're boycotting the 31st of August, and they're going to do one in September. So if you are one of these Aboriginal multicultural supporters or one of these Zionists, maybe you should go to that rally and see how much popular support there actually is for that position. The reality is most people want to march for Australia and against immigration. They don't want to march for your pet issues that they have no interest in.
Yeah, exactly. It would be a good bellwether. It would be a good test of which way the wind's blowing to see who gets more of a turnout. The bad optics, white supremacist patriot march where the NSN are coming along, or, you know, the cuckfest in mid-September. I think that we're probably going to get a better turnout on August 31st. But anyway, we'll find out. The Queen's Guard said, why don't you endorse Europa the Last Battle? Well, I'm not going to counter signal it. I just don't think that there's some inaccuracies in it, but I know I accept that it's a very
arduous task creating a documentary of that magnitude. So I'm not gonna attack it or go against the guys who made it or whatever. It's a good piece of propaganda. It's clearly been a very effective piece of propaganda. So you have to give respect on that level. But I'm just not gonna co-sign on its entire narrative on World War II. You know, like I got my own takes, and I think that's fair enough. What's your position on it, Jacob?
Well, it's made by Dennis Wise, isn't it? I think it's made by the same guy who made Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, which I really like. Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. I haven't seen Europa, The Last Battle, because I watched about 30 minutes of it and it was all stuff that I already knew. A lot of it recovered topics that he had already talked about in other videos and other things that I'd learned through my research. So I didn't feel the need to invest all my time in watching it. So I don't really have because I haven't watched it, I can't really appraise it. But I know that a lot of people do like it and a lot of people do recommend it. And a lot of people have found value in that documentary. So basically all I can say.
I'm not like, get your mum and dad to watch it. I'm not saying people shouldn't watch it, but in my opinion, there's just like a few the inaccuracies aren't really that important, I don't think, at the end of the day. RSA Liberty said, "Hail Joel, hail rental payment." Well, I'm not hailing my own rental payments, but thanks for helping me pay the rent. Home of the Brave said, "Would love to hear about the music entertainment from the event." Well, you would have by now. This was obviously sent earlier in the show. "I plan to travel all the way from Melbourne, Florida next time. As usual, you guys set the fucking bar for the white man. Hail victory." Well, if you'd like to come over from America,
just do it on the down low. Just do it on the down low. Obviously, you can message us, but obviously Hammer tried to get into the country and he got rejected. His visa got rejected because he's an open national socialist activist. So if you want to get into Australia to participate in one of our events, just keep it on the down low. Otherwise, you're not going to be given a visa by Zog.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I think with Hammer, he's got so much eyes on him that even though he did kind of keep it on the down low, it ended up getting flagged. But if you're a less prominent person, you probably get away with it. So, but yeah, don't publicize that you're coming for that purpose. Come up with a different purpose. But yeah, it was a shame Hammer couldn't be there. People have lots of views about Blood Tribe or whatever, but we would have absolutely loved to have his energy. He's one of the most aura-maxed individuals. He's got too much vril. So it would have been a real rev up. I mean, we had plenty of energy in the boys, but it would have been even more high energy if he had come. So it was a great shame. It would have been a lot of fun to hang out with him over the weekend, but you know, Zog sucks. Joey Jojo 12345 said, "You guys are truly epic. Here's another $50 towards White Australia," which is Ultra Saxon said, "Sewell is the Hitler of our Anglo race. You're all great men. Thank you for all you do. Hail Sewell, hail Hitler, hail victory, and fuck the pigs." Well, base cap spamming in that super chat. Sean McKenzie said, "NSN needs a raw milk business." Well, technically, selling raw milk is illegal in Australia. So for now, we're content with a raw milk hookup. But, you can sell raw milk in certain states as long as you market it as not for consumption, so-called bath milk, which obviously people just drink rather than taking a bath with. But that isn't true in the state of Victoria or in the state of New South Wales, I don't believe. I think that's only in WA and Queensland. Yeah, but obviously we're big raw milk fans in the NSN. But yeah, I think that's basically the end of the show. Is there anything else you wanted to cover, Jacob?
Not really. We covered the big things with Nationals and this upcoming 31st, August 31st. But obviously, just to recapitulate, everybody should come to August 31st. and make it clear that there actually is resistance to this government agenda, and it's not going to express itself in the containment riots talking about digital ID and taxation and multiculturalism and Aboriginality and Israel and all of these side issues that most people don't actually resonate with. We want Australia to be for the Australians. We want Australia for the white man. We want to stop immigration and we want to begin repatriation. And if you come out, that will be made manifest to the population and to the government and to all of these traitors in the establishment right, in the containment right. So come out, bring your friends, and we'll see you there on the day.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll probably do another stream before the big day. But yeah, show some love to the organizers online. Help, you know, spread around the promotional materials that explain, you know, where the rally is in your respective city. If people want to do something over the next week, you could print them off from the official March for Australia page, and you could go around and put them in letterboxes. You could put them up on walls, whatever. You could help distribute. I don't think that they're that organized, so they could probably use autonomous help for promotional purposes. Don't be a retard, but if you're just going to do it, do a good job, do a good job. Make sure that you use the correct information and check that before printing stuff off and disseminating it. Don't disseminate disinformation, but or misinformation. But I think that could be a lot of help to expanding the turnout and keep amplifying it online, because this is an organic thing. There isn't money behind it. There isn't establishment forces behind it. And that's a great thing because it means that it's authentic. But at the same time, it means that it's totally dependent upon an organic marketing campaign, which has been pretty fucking successful, which just shows that the collective consciousness, the collective mood of the people, it just has an appetite for this right now, that it was just kind of willed into existence by collective frustration, dissatisfaction, anger. And it's so necessary. It's so necessary right now. So that makes sense. But yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in. WhiteAustralia.org, sign up. We've already gone past the 1500 mark, but we need more supporters because the AEC are going to probably play games when we try to register. We're going to want to build our membership up way beyond the threshold so that we've got room to move. So that if they play games, it won't matter, because if we've got 3,000, 4,000 members, they can't play funny business games with trying to like undermine our registration. So sign up as a member, sign up as a supporter. You'll get emails updating you on what's going on. You'll get the opportunity to be vetted as a supporter and potentially come down to our seminars, come to our national events. So there's perks, and there isn't really much that's required from you other than just, you know, basically giving us your email so that we can put you in touch. So sign up as a supporter, and it enables us to ultimately, when we do register the party, which is some ways off, but we're probably maybe set, let's say roughly 6 months or so from now, when we get ready to file the paperwork, we've got your details so we can send you out the forms and you can be an official member of the party and help us get registered so that we can have a party that actually represents white nationalism in this country. Because there's not at the moment, there's nothing like that. Like, you know, we know all too well how shit the parties that currently exist are and how much untapped potential there is in the Australian right and how much appetite there is for something new and fresh and real. But yeah, also it's watch over the next week and watch over the last week as well. Who sides with this rally and who sides against it? I think the people who side with it are people that you can trust, more or less, and the people who go against it are people that you can't. It's a real line in the sand for the Australian right. And I've taken note of the people who have sided with the rally, who maybe are a little bit softer than us on a lot of the issues. And it's won me some of the respect from them, to be honest. Even seeing people like Lachlan Lade from the Libertarian Party up in Queensland, he amplified a video that was literally defending NSN being at the rally and saying the right shouldn't cancel its own radicals and so on. So I'm making note of these, some of these figures, and going, okay, these guys, maybe these guys are okay. These guys are all right. So make a note of it and make sure everyone who goes against this rally and who counter signals the rally that you write them off, because they're enemies of this country. They're enemies of our people. The containment right. I like this phrase. Jacob, did you see that opinion piece in the Notice are talking about this? I like this phrase, containment right. I think it's a, I think we should keep using it.
Yeah, well, that's where I got it from. So I thought, but it's exactly what they are. They're just trying to contain the right, keep it useless, keep it focused on issues that don't actually mobilize people. Because we're Australians. We don't care about Israel. We care about Australia. That's pretty obvious. And they just want to contain us and stop us actually pursuing our own interests and what we want.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck Israel. Fuck every other ethnic bullshit that you want to bring in. This is about Australia. This is about white Australians. But yeah, see you August 31. Hope you enjoyed the stream. Signing off. White power. Hail victory. Blood and honor. Hail Hitler.
And everything else. Hail Hitler.